Well, good morning. I do want to say how thankful I am to be here this morning. This is a great lectureship. I was involved in it last year as well, and I was just a first-year guy. So now, hopefully, I've honed my skills a little bit, and I just want to thank so much, Brother Jerry, and you heard the great lesson that he had this morning, and Brother Brent that you'll hear tonight, and all the instructors there at the Institute. The Bible Institute of Missouri there, it's just been wonderful. And it is a lot of work and it's challenging, but I pray that if anyone, you know, here, any of the young men here, anything are thinking about it, it's a wonderful school and you will learn so much from the Bible. So I just want to say thank you so much for the support that you give that school and thank you for having me here to speak with you here this morning. The topic I was given was, why do men not believe or trust in the Bible today? That is a very good question because we see it out there in the world that people do not believe or trust in the Bible today. Now, we can look at this question in a couple of different ways. There are categories of people who we can look at here. There are people today who don't believe in God at all. They don't believe that there's a higher power. They don't believe that God is who created all of this and who brings the weather that we saw last night. They just can't believe that. It had to be something else. It just doesn't make any sense. Even though from what they say with evolution, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But no, they say that there's no God. And for sure, those people don't believe that this is God's works. They don't even believe there's a God. There is a category of people that believe in God. They believe there's a higher power. They believe that something created us and something sustains us, a higher being, but that's really all there is. Well, we can't know that God. There's no way to know that God. This book here is just a book of history and a book of fables and it's written by men. There are people who, yes, believe there's a God, but don't believe that this is God's Word. It's a very disturbing poll that I found online that only 20% of people in America now believe that the Bible is God's Word. That's down 4% from 2017. That's down over half from the 1980s. And Brother Jerry mentioned it this morning in his lesson how some of you older people lived through that wonderful time of the church. I don't remember that. All I remember is it going down, 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 farther and farther away from God. And that's what this poll tells us, that there are people getting farther and farther away from God. But I don't really want to focus in on that this morning because who are we? We are the church. We are the body of Christ that has met here this morning. We are people who know that it is paramount that we come to worship services and that we worship God and that we give Him the glory. And we believe that there's a God. Of course we do. That's who we sing to. That's who we pray to. And we believe in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where all Scripture is inspired or God-breathed to the writers. We believe in that. But you know, there's another category of people that believe all of that. They believe there's a God. They believe that the Bible is God's Word, but they look at the Bible in a different way. They might say they believe, but do they really? You know, there are people who open up this Bible and they look at it kind of like a cafeteria line. Now, what I mean by that is, have you ever been in a cafeteria line and you've got your plate there and they, well, yeah, give me that steak. That steak sounds real good. And oh, yeah, corn. Oh, mac and cheese. I like all that, but you get to the sauerkraut. Nope. No. No, get that away from me. I don't want that even close to my plate. That's how people look at the Bible today. Well, I like this, but I don't know about this. I heard a quote by a brother B.J. Clark who he didn't take credit for it, so I can't give the credit, but I heard it from him, and it's a wonderful quote. It says, "If I believe in the Bible only the things in which I agree, then it's not really the Bible I'm believing in, it's me. And that's how so many people look at it today. In fact, there is a me Bible out there. You can actually just make it say whatever you want to think, whatever you want it to say. Well, that's not how we need to look at God's Word. We need to believe every bit of it, but there are people who look at the Scripture like this. We just sang that song, No Tears in Heaven, and that song is written off of the Scripture there in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, where God will wipe away all the tears. There will be no pain, no sorrow, nothing. Boy, people really like that idea, don't they? I love the idea of heaven. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. No pain, no sorrow. That sounds amazing. There in John chapter 14, Jesus says that it's going to be a mansion. I have left to prepare a mansion for you. Oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, these same people will go to a passage like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10 there, and they'll look at all those things that God is against, all those sins that were mentioned that the church at Corinth were committing. And they'll, homosexuality, that's wrong. Abortion, that's wrong. I'll take that and I'll teach it anywhere. Now don't get me wrong, that's what needs to be done. But the same category of people will come to a verse, say, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, when Paul is talking about there the character of the new man. And he says there, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. And, I'd like to say a few bad words. I mean, come on, the world's doing it. Why can't I do it? You know, in fact, I heard on the radio that there are doctors actually telling people in therapy to say what we would call today cuss words, what we would call today bad words, because that helps. That helps you to get that out of your body. Is that what the Scripture says? No, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Jesus tells us we're going to be judged by every word that we speak. And yet the same people that would say, well, I love heaven and all these sins are wrong, but I want to do that sin. So I don't know about that part. Maybe a young man looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 and flee from all sexual immorality. And, you know, he's thinking, well, the world's doing it. You know, I'm going to marry this girl. I want to be with her in that way before we get married. I don't know if I agree with that or not. Maybe that same person there looks at Matthew chapter 19 where Jesus is speaking of divorce and remarriage. And, I love her now, but in 20 years, will I really? I mean, the world just says go out and get a divorce, so I should be able to do that. See, the point is that people look at the Bible where they want to see it. They believe it where they want to believe it. I wish I could say that this was just now. I mean, this is just happening now so we can fix it, but no, it's been happening forever. You ever heard that phrase, the more things change, the more they stay the same? That's exactly what is going on today, and it went on back in the Bible. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 5, or your Bibles may be open to that, I appreciate the reading there this morning. We'll look at John chapter 5 here because Jesus is speaking to people who say they believe. They read the law, they believe the old law, but do they really? Now, we know the account there that was read of the man that was healed, and what does verse 16 say? So instead of having compassion for this man, instead of being glad that this man was healed, verse 16 tells us, for this reason the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill Him, because why? Because it didn't fit with what their beliefs were. It didn't fit with their traditions. Because He had done these things on the Sabbath. See, it just doesn't fit with us. Read with me there in chapter 5, beginning in verse 33, as Jesus is saying, look, you don't believe me. You say that you believe my Father, but do you really? Read with me verse 33. Jesus says, you have sent to John and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in His light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me. And the Father Himself who sent me has testified of me. You neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His form. Now I want you to look at these contrast words in verse 38. But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, Him you do not believe. I know some translations have "and" there, and that can be the same word in the Greek, can be "and" as well, but you have to look at the context. This is a huge contrast. But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, Jesus says, you don't believe. You search the Scriptures, verse 39, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. And Jesus says here, you say that you believe the Father, but here I am. Here I am. You believe John that I was coming, and I've done all these works, yet you still don't believe. Continue on in verse 42, it says, but I know you, or verse 43, excuse me, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? He's saying here, you believe Moses. Think about the Jews there. That's who they look to. They look to that Pentateuch. You believe that, but here I am in the flesh, and I'm doing these works, and yet you still don't like it. Because it doesn't fit with what you want. It doesn't fit with your traditions. We see that as well in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, they say, the Jews are saying that Jesus has a demon. And Jesus answered there in verse 49 after the Jews had said this, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. Now watch what he says here in verse 51. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, then he shall never see death. Well, now they know. They say, well, now we know you have a demon now because Abraham, our father, is dead. Now verse 54. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. But I know him, and if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. And when we say things like that, you know, we're kind of acting that way. I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe in the other part. Why do men not believe in the Bible today? Because they don't really know what belief is. True belief is truly believing everything that is given to us in the Bible. It's not just the red letter words either. Brother Jerry mentioned that this morning. Now the Holy Spirit was going to come upon the apostles and they were going to speak what the Father is wanting them to speak. See, that's the thing. If we believe in the Bible, then we need to believe the whole thing. Why do men not believe in the Bible today is because they don't know what true belief really is, or they sure don't act like it or show it in their actions. Why do men not believe in the Bible today? Because true belief means work. That's not a good sign in our society. If it takes work, we don't want to do it. Look with me at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The first part here of chapter 6 is a very well-known account to us, the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus feeds those men with five fish and two loaves, or five loaves and two fish. And he says here, and look at verse 15, they see this and they want to make him a king. Now that's an earthly king. Jesus doesn't want anything to do with that. He's trying to teach them spiritually what it means. So, and then we get the account of him walking on water, but we come to verse 22 and he begins to tell them how that he is the bread of heaven. Now, notice with me there, starting in verse 24 of chapter 6. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, or great teacher, when did you come here? You know, they're trying to say, well, Jesus, you know, where have you been? When did you come here? I want you to notice here that Jesus knew what they were really wanting, because he doesn't answer that question. Look at verse 26. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You're just wanting more food. I know why you're here. I know why you're seeking me. You know, Jesus knows everything. We can't hide anything from Jesus. Look at verse 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. Now notice here in verse 28 that they ask what seems to be a good question, but if you continue on here and you read in the context, you know that's not really what they want, but they say, well, what shall we do that we may work, work the works of God? Now, what shall we do? What does God require of us, is really what they're asking. And what does Jesus say here in verse 29? This is the work. I want you to underline that, highlight that, circle it if you mark in your Bibles. Of God, that you believe, do the same thing, in Him whom He sends. Belief is a work. And it's not my words, that's Jesus' words. He says, this is what you need to do. Believe in me, whom He, the Father, sends. Now look at verse 30. Therefore they said to Him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? And what work will you do? I think there are times where Jesus has to just be rolling his eyes in the back of his head. Are you kidding me? What work will I do? Have you not seen the things that I have done? Have you not seen the works? Yet they still didn't believe. You know, that's a day. There's so many people out there. If I could just see that one miracle, then I'd believe. Really? They didn't believe. It says there in verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And what does Jesus say? Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now notice again, why do people not trust in the Bible? Is because it means work. Jesus says you need to work. Believe me. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about Him. Complained. Look at verse 52. They quarreled among themselves. What does Jesus say in verse 54? He is again trying to teach them the spiritual things. He who ever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And that was it. Now, I mean, what are you talking about? How are we going to do that, Jesus? They haven't been listening. He is telling them here, it's not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. And notice here in verse 61, it says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, Jesus knows their hearts. He knows that they're thinking, they're complaining about what Jesus is saying. He says, does this offend you? Does this offend you? That you have to do a little bit of work to believe in me? Does that offend you? And notice there in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Why do people not believe in the Bible today? Because it takes work. They didn't want to work for it. It's not worth it. You're not giving us what we came for. We came so you would feed us again physically, and now you're telling us that we have to work for this and understand all these things that you're saying? Too much work. It's too much work. You know, many outside will say, well, you know, there you go, you know, preaching your works-based salvation again. No, that's not what I'm saying. We don't deserve heaven. We don't earn heaven in anything that we do. It's only by the grace and the mercy of God that we have that, but we do have to obey. Belief is work. Verse 29, Jesus says, this is the work of God, to believe Him in whom He sent. It takes work. So I want to ask you this morning then, what are you doing? What kind of work are you doing? Maybe you ask that of Jesus. Well, what does He want us to do then? Okay, I believe. Is that all? Well, is that all that Jesus said? We talked about earlier how all the Scripture is inspired. If you really believe that, is that all Jesus said, to just believe in Me? No, that's all He said. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus makes it very clear, and He says, if you love Me, what? Keep My commandments. Everything that I have said, everything that the apostles are going to say after that. You know, really, I know we're under a different law, and I understand that, but go all the way through the whole Bible because it all points to Christ. You must believe everything and do everything that He says, and it takes work. It really does. I want to read you a verse here. I'm sure you all know it, but I want us to read it together. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Does that not work? Does that not take work, brethren? It's too much work for a lot of people. I'm not going to do that. It's too much. Too much work. I don't want to work like that. I want you to stop and think for just a second, as we just did when we took of the Lord's Supper. Jesus says, take up your cross. What was Jesus' cross? Think about that. Jesus was arrested. He was taken to trial. He was beaten. He was bloodied. I want you to just think for just a moment. You know, maybe you get a cut on your wrist or a cut on your hand or on your arm or something, and it's bleeding, and you don't even want to put a piece of cloth over that because it's going to hurt when it pulls off. Well, that's what Jesus had to go through. Jesus' whole body was like that, and they would put that robe on Him, they would pull it off. That was what He went through. And then you think about Him, He had to carry His cross to the place where He was going to be crucified. Think of that old nasty tree with the bark rubbing on His skin, and He's carrying that cross. And what does He say here? Take up your cross daily and follow Me. We'll never face anything like that, anything that Jesus went through. We will never face it, more than likely. And sometimes we just can't do the simple things in life. We can't deny ourselves. You know, there's a big problem in the church, and it's attendance. And I know that that's not the most, you know, I know that's not everything of being a Christian. But what does it show when you have so many here on Sunday morning? Seems like checking the box, and then you have half people gone that evening. Now I know, and I know that there's medical issues and things like that, and God knows your heart. He knows you're trying your hardest, but it's the times where you just decide that it's not worth it to deny myself. It's not worth it to be here. I'm tired. I don't want to be here. Now, I'll just use myself as an example for just a second. I used to drive a truck for just a local company, and There would be times that I would be late at night. And there would be some Wednesday evenings where I could have made it to Wednesday night Bible study. But I made something take a little bit longer. So I didn't have to go. So I didn't have to be there and be tired and my wife poking me at, you know, that I'm falling asleep. But that was not right. That's not the thought of a Christian. If our heart is not here, then where is it? What is more important than worshiping God? You might say, well, it's a Super Bowl. Well, is that more important? I know a lot of people show that today. You know, you might say, well, my kids have practice. Is that more important? Let's just ask ourselves here. Jesus says that deny yourself and take up your cross. What's he saying in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26? If you don't hate your father and mother, your wife and children, then you can't be my disciple. If you don't have me up here, prioritize me, then you can't be my disciple. Where are your priorities? It goes right back to the idea of work. Why do people not believe in the Bible today? Because it takes a lot of work to be a good, solid Christian. I don't say those things harshly to you, but I say those things to challenge all of us here. What is more important in our lives than God? Because there should be nothing. Jesus, over and over and over, teaches about how the physical does not, the spiritual is much more important than the physical. Over and over. But it does take some work. It takes work to do a lot of things. I mean, we could list all kinds of things in the Bible. It takes work to evangelize. I actually have that in my lesson here as I was preparing the Think Souls. Brother Jerry said that in our lectureship not too long ago. Think souls. And it takes work to do that. It takes work to deny ourselves and think about others and think about it's a lost world to get out there and do it. And it's one of the hardest things for me to do is to talk to others about that. But we've got to be thinking souls. We've got to be putting God up here as Christians today. So why don't people believe in the Bible? Because first of all, they don't really understand what belief is. If you believe one part of it, you have to believe the rest of it. And also, it's just too much work. Belief means work. We've looked at a couple of reasons there why people don't believe. Well, also, why don't people trust in it then? Maybe you do believe it. You know, but maybe you would say, I believe every word in this Bible, but I don't know if I trust it. Why do people not trust in the Bible today? Because why? Because they trust in themselves. It's an easy thing to do is to trust in ourselves. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know a better way. And there again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. You can look in passages in the Old Testament of people who did not trust God. You can look at Sarah and Abraham, and they said, well, we're too old. There's no way we're going to have a child. But God said, you will. And Sarah said, well, no, I don't know about that. I got a better way. So Abraham, go to my handmaid and have a child with her. Is that trusting in God? What about there, Naaman? What a great example that is in 2 Kings chapter 5 when Elisha said, look, if you want to be cleansed of this leprosy, then just go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman, what did it say? He was in a fury. He was in a rage. He said, if you just want me to take a bath, I got some better rivers I can do that in. See, he didn't trust in God. Now, luckily, there was some people there who did, and who said, why don't you just do this, Naaman? And he did, and what happened? At the end, he trusted in God, didn't he? He knew that God was the God there in that account. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, Jesus spoke the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collectors, and it intros here, and it says that Jesus spoke the parable to some who what? Who trusted in themselves. Do we trust in ourselves? Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, Paul writes there that the Jews were seeking their own righteousness rather than God. Why do people not trust in the Bible today? Because They trust in themselves. They trust that their way is the right way. You know, there are people out there that many people, maybe not in here, but in the world would consider very, quote, religious people. And these very same people would come to a verse in the Bible or many verses in the Bible and say this, I know that's what the Bible said or says, but I don't believe it. I don't trust it. You know, when you say that, when you say, I know that's what the Bible says, but that's not the right way to look at the Bible. And there are many, many people out there who are being led away by these false teachers. Because why? Because they say that word, but I don't believe it or I don't trust it. I trust in me. I trust that God is going to be fine with what I want. Now, I know He's told us what He wants, but I have a better way. People trust in themselves way too much today. You know what this is like? This is like slapping God right in the face. It really is. You're my authority, I understand that, but I have a better way. I don't trust in you. Because I trust in myself. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Do we do that? Do we really trust? And do we trust it, not only some of it, what we were looking at earlier this morning, but do we trust it all? Do we trust in all the will of the Father? In all of God's commands? There were two sons. They were looking at the will of their father. And they were looking at this paper, and their father wanted three things done after he had died. And they're looking at his will, and he wants a barn, a fence, and a well put in on the property that he left his sons. And his sons look down and they see that the first part, and it says, I want you to put a barn right here. And it's got the coordinates. And they look at each other, that couldn't be a better place, could it? Dad really knew what he was talking about. We're gonna put that barn right where Dad said. They look down and they say, okay, well, Dad wanted a fence built, you know, around the barn. And they look at each other again. Boy, I really respect Dad, and I mean, this is perfect. This is the exact right place to put that fence. So we're going to build the fence there. And they look down and they see, and it says, I want you to build a well, or dig a well in this certain place. And they look at each other and they just kind of shake their heads like, you know, I respect Dad a lot. I want to respect his wishes, but that's not a good place. I think it needs to go over there. Well, the question is, how much of the will of their father did they do? Now, it would be tempting to say, well, they did two things, right? No. They did none of it. They did none of his will. The father had his will written down right here, and they only did part of it, so really they did none of it. Why do people not trust in the Bible today? Because they trust in themselves. I have a better way, or I don't trust at all. I trust some of it, but not all of it. There are so many people out there today that have this idea, and even unfortunately in the Lord's church. You probably have friends and family that think this way, that look at the Bible in this way. Well, brethren, I want you to try to talk to them for one thing, but if they won't listen, then pray. That's all we can do. Pray to God and pray that they'll open their hearts and minds and understand that, you know, well, you believe part of it, so why don't you believe the rest of it? Or why don't you trust it in what it says? Why don't people trust in the Bible? Because really, it all comes to a conclusion. You can look at so many different answers to that question, but the conclusion is because they want to live how they want to live, and they don't want anybody else to tell them how they're going to live. This is my life. I don't want you to tell me how to live it. Why do we even have this life? Because God's allowing us to have this life. Because God has gave us this life, and He sustained this life. So is it really ours? Is it really ours? God says, look, here's what I've given you right here. This is how you live. So why don't people believe in it today? Now, I don't know any of you, and I am not preaching to any of you at all. Maybe you all believe every word of the Bible, and that's wonderful, and I pray that you do. But I ask if there's anybody here this morning who maybe is not a Christian, who hasn't put on Christ in baptism. Why don't you believe it? Why don't you believe it when it says that you must believe in Jesus or you'll perish or you'll die in your sins? Why don't you believe it when it says there in Luke chapter 13, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish? Why don't you believe it when it says, when Jesus says, if you confess my name before my Father, I'll confess, or if you confess my name before men, then I will confess your name before my Father. Why don't you believe that? And why don't you believe in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, where it says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's the verse that a lot of people go to. I know that's what it says, but I don't believe it. I don't trust it. That's not what it means. Name your excuse. It's just clear as day. That's what the Bible says. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So if anybody here needs to do that, then we'd be glad to help you in any way. Maybe you have been baptized, but maybe you just haven't been living a Christian life. Maybe you haven't been putting God to the priority that you should. Maybe you're one of these people who believe in some of it, but I don't know about the rest of it because that doesn't fit my ideas or my desires. Well, you can come back to God. You can ask for forgiveness. And if you need prayers of the church, then we'll be glad to do that this morning. I ask you, I plead with you to don't leave this place without being right with God. Because that reward of heaven is worth believing in what God has given us here today. If you need anything, you can come now as the Lord pleads, as we stand and sing.